If you'll turn to Psalm 119, Psalm 119. So, this is the project we've been on in our communion service for a while. Just had the idea to think about these stanzas. We are in Psalm 119, verse 65. The Hebrew letter that starts each of these stanzas in the Hebrew is Teth. That's a T sound. And the psalmist throughout Psalm 119, the big theme is God's Word, how he relates to God's Word and how he relates to God. And so one of my goals in using these texts for our communion service is to talk about the relationship that we need to have with God. That we look at our walk with God as more than merely religious duty. That we're not just going through a ritual when we're going to conduct our communion service today. It's not simply that we're doing this ritual. It's one of the things we do as Christians. It is a symbol. We used the word in the study this morning about koinonia. It's a symbol of our fellowship with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a spiritual relationship with God, and He has given us the privilege of a personal walk with Him. Now, Psalm 119 is the expression many think of David. The author isn't identified, but it's the expression of a spiritual man in the Old Testament who is thinking about the law, God's Word, thinking about his relationship to God, thinking about the commitments he makes to God. And so that's the kind of thing in general that I'm calling you to as we meditate on Psalm 119. Every one of us who are believers could be closer to God than we are. You could be a Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and still there is something that you could do more to get closer to God. So that's the point we're trying to make. That's the point I'm trying to make. We use the word you because we want to impact you, but that's all of us. That's me and all of us. So we don't want to come to a plateau where we think, okay, I've got enough spirituality. I've made it now so far. I'm good. Just have to wait for the rapture now. That's not where we want to be. We always want to be getting closer. So the title for today is Teach Me Good Discernment. Let's read Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72 to get the text, and I hope you'll have your Bibles open because you'll want to be looking at these verses as we just talk about them. This isn't a homiletically refined message, but we're just going to look at these verses and have some meditations on them. All right, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And so, my proposition, I didn't put it on the screen, but it is, good discernment stabilizes spiritual life, focuses on living for the Savior. So that's, when you have good spiritual discernment, you do know, you look at life and you make decisions about how to proceed, what to do, what to think, who to associate with, how to conduct yourself amongst other people. You have good discernment because you have drawn close to God, and His redemption of you has produced something in your life. So the thing that prompts the request, that first verse of the stanza, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. And this really is the bottom line, I think, the starting point for all spiritual life. God has dealt well with us. He has given us life. He has given us a beautiful place to live, I'm not just talking about living in Victoria, British Columbia and associated region, you know, places within this reach. I'm not talking about the beauty of Vancouver Island. I'm talking about this world and everything that God has made for us. And we, He has given us a tremendous opportunity to serve Him. He's given us, despite the sin of man, despite the now shortened lifespan of man, despite the problems that come into our lives because of sin, God is still good to us, and He has not only does He provide all these things, but it says He keeps His word. He has promised to do something for the sin condition of mankind, and He has done it. He has sent a Savior. The Savior has redeemed us, and so there is a response that then comes from me to God because of what He has done for me. So the condition that prompts the request, God's goodness to me. But now then, the request for growing discernment. In this passage or in this stanza, the thing that the psalmist wants is discernment. He wants to know God's will. He wants to know how to live. He wants discernment. And so it's worded in verses 66 through 68. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. So there's a sort of a balance there. There is a point in his life where he acknowledges that he had wandered and gone astray, but now what he wants is discernment and knowledge. The discernment, this word for discernment is related to the word for taste. And so as you grow in life and you have experience with various kinds of food, you gain some discernment. You can taste certain things and you can distinguish certain flavors. Some people are more skilled at that than others. They'll say, oh, you know, you'll be eating something. Oh, I can taste the whatever, the rosemary in this or the, you know, there's something even more subtle, they'll pick it up, and I'm going, what are you talking about? I'm not quite sure. There's a discerning taste. Obviously, there are certain dishes that are better than others, depending on one's opinion, I suppose, and preferences, but you can cultivate a taste. You can develop a taste for certain things. And you can, once you develop a certain taste, you can tell, okay, this is a good one, and this is a not so good one. I can remember when we got married, I had tried oysters once or twice and I did not like them. How many of you like oysters? Anybody? Okay, a few people. Sam, that's great. Little kids liking oysters, that's awesome. Okay, so but I did not like them. And so we are on our honeymoon. We are in South Carolina on the coast, and we are going to these all-you-can-eat seafood bars. So I said, well, people like these things. I'm going to keep trying them. So I kept trying them. I did one oyster with all the other stuff I got. And eventually, I thought, well, that's not so bad. And now I like them. So you cultivate taste. You learn to appreciate different flavors. I haven't had one for a long time. Not sure how I would feel now. But anyway, we taste and distinguish between food. But now he's talking about we need discernment. We need to distinguish between persons. There are some people that are not good for our spiritual lives. Okay, so we need to learn how to manage those people. Either limit our relationships with them, guide our relationship with them, learn how to introduce subjects that will cause them to be thinking about changing. They'll either change you as a friend or they'll change towards Christ, one or the other. That's what we should be doing, distinguishing between person, events. There's things that as Christians, as we walk with God, we'd say, well, I really shouldn't go to that event. I shouldn't go to that place. And so, a distinguishing. There are various experiences. There's things that people will challenge you with, things that are said, that are taught, or propounded, and as you grow in discernment, you can distinguish between good and evil. You can distinguish between the false and the true. You should always cultivate a taste for truth. Our world is full of falsehood. I saw a meme on the other day. It was for April 1st. It's the only day that people look at things on the internet and think they're probably not true. Okay, April 1st. The rest of the time it's back to everything's true on the internet. But we need discernment. There's so many things that we see just because it's interesting, it doesn't mean it's true. And there's so much out there we need discernment. We need discernment. There's also this word knowledge. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. This is knowledge gained by the senses through experience. So, like as supposedly General Patton said, there's no education in the second kick of a mule. Alright? Think about that. Get kicked one time, that's an accident. The second time, you should have figured it out by now, don't stand there. Okay? Don't stand there. Alright? So, through experience, we gain knowledge. There is a sense of discernment to this as well. So this whole thought of this psalm is that I've had some experiences in life and I have gained some understanding. I know how to distinguish. God is working in my life. It is based on God's commandments. He says, teach me these things. I believe in your commandments. In verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The psalmist wants to know. And he also acknowledges he has lacked discernment. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So there is a period in his life where, well, he had a head knowledge, perhaps, of God's commandments. He had an acquaintance with God's truth. And yet he found himself wandering away along the path, getting himself into trouble. And that trouble led to conflict one way or another. He's afflicted. Maybe it's the direct consequences of his action. So he's done something wrong. He has to be punished for it. And by the way, he is generic. It counts for she as well. Okay? So the believer, man or woman, boy or girl, who wanders from God's path, you're going to get yourself into a situation where it could be the consequences. You've done something wrong, you have to be punished. Or it could be just things that happen when people go along the way. It's not directly a punishment. In other words, somebody hasn't caught you and caused you trouble, but it's a consequence of being where you are. In Proverbs, it talks about the drunkard who gets himself into trouble. It's not necessarily that somebody is coming in and say, okay, you know, 49 lashes because you got drunk last night. It's no, the drunkenness itself is a punishment. The drunkenness itself. So when you're afflicted, we have to recognize that a lot of the times, not all the time, but a lot of the times it is brought on by our own wandering. When we wander, we should expect affliction. And so he requests, oh Lord, I've known what this is like. I know what kind of trouble I can get into. Teach me discernment. Teach me knowledge. Help me to grow. I want to follow you. James says in James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you want to follow God, and you pursue following God, he will give you the light you need. You think, oh, I have so many problems. I keep running into these same problems day after day. And people have disagreements with me. I have trouble. God will give you the knowledge you need. God will give you the grace you need. The request for growing discernment. All right, and then the benefit of affliction for discernment. Very interesting turn in the verses here. Verse 69, the arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts. So, he's saying, those who are my enemies, the arrogant, they have lied, they've told an untruth about me. But I am going to cling to your commandments regardless. Notice he's not fighting back. Notice he's not trying to overturn the lie necessarily. He is clinging to God's commandments. And then another parallel in the next verse. Quite interesting. Their heart is covered with fat. What do you think about that expression? Now, what does it mean if their heart is covered with fat? It means that it is encased in a hardening substance. That God's truth can't penetrate into that arrogant heart. I am discerning, I am not able to make any difference with that situation, with that problem. They're insensitive to God's wisdom. So what does the disciple do? He says, I delight in your law. So instead of struggling with the opponents, he turns to God, give me discernment, give me wisdom, give me your law, and help me to grow. And then in verse 71 it says, it is good for me that I was afflicted. What about you? Do you think that it's good for you when you're afflicted? You know, things happen and, oh, not again. Okay? You have a difficulty. You've disappointed somebody. You've caused a conflict and there's consequences. It was good for me, says the psalmist, that I was afflicted. Why? That I may learn your statutes. That is the benefit. There is a path to follow. We can discern what's wrong with what the arrogant are doing with their fat hearts that are insensitive to God's word. We are afflicted and we are motivated then, the psalmist says, to seek after God. Turn your afflictions into a motivation to serve God, to get close to God. That is, teach me good discernment. You should not look at adversity as an enemy, but as a goad to drive you to God, is what the psalmist is teaching us. And then finally, the value of discernment, verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Now, there is apparently a commentary on this by Herbert Lockyer, which I don't have, but there is in one of the commentaries I have, somebody quoted him on this particular passage. He says, Herbert Lockyer recounts a story concerning the largest Bible in the world, a Hebrew manuscript weighing 320 pounds in the Vatican Library. Okay. Long ago, a group of Italian Jews asked to see this Bible, and when they had seen it, they told their friends in Venice about it. As a result, a syndicate of Russian Jews tried to buy it, offering the church the weight of the book in gold, 320 pounds of gold. Now, Julius II was pope at that time, so this is a story about a pope. We're not going to give any credit to him, right? But he refused the offer, even though the value of such a large amount of gold was enormous. How much do you think that's worth today? 320 pounds of gold. I looked it up on the internet last night. 320 pounds of gold today, according to last night's numbers, would be $1,019,267.20 today. According to my calculations, which must be true because I got all that off the internet. All right, here's what Rocky wrote. Thousands of gold and silver pieces are nothing in comparison with the inestimably precious Word of God. Well, I would wish the popes would read their Bible, but but the point is the same. How do we get discernment? We have a relationship with God. We love His Word. We look at our afflictions as opportunities. And we want to draw closer and closer to God. It begins with redemption, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it produces the fruit of a life that shines for Christ in the world around us. That's what we're after. That's what we want. That's what redemption does for us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this opportunity we've had to look at Your Word, for this meditation. Think of the value of Your Word and the value of discernment. Lord, I pray that you would help us, each one, to grow in our understanding, in discernment, in our walk with you in everything. In Jesus' name.